All right, tonight I'm going to speak to you on the subject, keep walking. Keep walking. I believe that as Christians, sometimes we tend to settle down and get a little bit comfortable. But the challenge to us all is always to not get comfortable in our Christianity, because while there's more people outside of church than there are inside of church, our job is never done. Amen? Yeah. Our job is never done. Amen? Yeah. Amen. And so I want to talk to you on the subject, keep walking. Now, when I first came up with the title of this message, what I didn't realize is that it's actually a slogan for Johnny Walker. So we're talking about two different spirits tonight, just to let you know. Could be a word from the Lord to give up one and keep walking in another. Who knows? But tonight I want to speak to you on the subject of keep walking. And it's always a challenge to us, and I believe, honestly, with what everybody said this morning in regards to when you're now 10 years old. But in order for us to get to 20 years old, and Pastor Ed, I'm just going to prophesy that you won't need to hire a new venue 10 years from now. You'll need to buy a new venue 10 years from now. This thing is not going to be big enough to hold it, I believe. And Lancaster will be booming, and Blackpool, and North, and who knows how many campuses. Who knows how many campuses you're going to be 10 years from now. Did you think when you come here, 10 years ago that you're going to have 4 campuses? Exactly. Who knows what's going to happen 10 years from now? And I believe, there's a passage of scripture that I often speak from in Proverbs 3:9. And it says that if we honor the Lord with our tithes and our first fruits, it says that he'll see to it that our barns, notice that barns. Now, you guys understand barns more than I understand barns. When I think barns, I think a garage, okay, with a roller door. Well, you guys understand barns a whole lot more. But the Bible says that your barns will be full. Your barns will be full. Now, when I was here a few years ago, we had one barn. Now we've got a barn down in Lancaster, a barn over in Blackpool, a barn up in the north. How many barns can we believe for over the next 10 years? Because the word barns is obviously plural, and God doesn't say it means 5. It means how many can you believe him for? And I believe that as Valley Church, let's not get comfortable. Let's not sit back and go, yes, we've arrived at 10. No, we're going to continue on and continue to go to 20 and see that our barns be full and our vats to overflowing in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Well, there's this game that we play in Australia, and I'm sure you play it here in England. In fact, most of Australia is influenced from England. You sent us over there for... So we're hungry. We got a bit of bread, all right? And you're out of here altogether. And so you sent us to the beaches. Thank you. And we played this game called Peekaboo with our kids. And what we do is we put our hands over our face. We pull our hands back from our face and we say to the child, Peekaboo. Now for the child, one of two reactions is going to happen. It's either going to cry because you just scared the life out of the child, or the child's going to laugh because he's played the game before and she's played the game before and knows what's coming up. But what happens every time is you cover your face and hide it, then you pull your hands back, reveal it, the child gets a glimpse of your face, and then the hands go back across the face, and you try it 3 or 4 times until the child starts to realize, hang on, I know what's going to happen here. Well, when you teach your kid to walk, there's this thing in early childhood psychology, and I know we're getting deep tonight, don't worry, I'll bring it back up shallow real quick, but in early childhood psychology, there's this concept known as object permanence. And object permanence basically says that although a child can't see it, it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. And what happens is it works like this, is that when we teach a child to walk in Australia, what we do is the child... We get them over here and we kind of put them on their knees or they're crawling, and we get a candy bar, protein bar here, and healthy children over here. And we get a candy bar and we put it down on the ground, and the child gets down on its knee and it sees the candy bar and it starts to crawl towards the candy bar. Well, as a dad, you want to produce the smartest children in the world. And so what you do is you cover up the candy bar. And what the child often does is the child will sit up and begin to cry and begin to bawl because he thinks that because I can't see the candy bar anymore, it doesn't exist. So then as a father, what you do is you pull the towel back, and then the child starts to move again, and you cover it up. And again, the child will sit up and begin to cry because he thinks the candy bar's gone. But we all know that just because we can't see it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. And so then we pull the towel back again. The child comes up, picks up the candy bar, starts to smile. He's ecstatic. He loves it. And then the next day we go again. We get the candy bar. We put the child, and then we cover it up. And the child sits up, and sometimes they cry. Sometimes they don't. Depending on how smart the child is, sometimes they pick up immediately that, hang on, I know it's under there. Sometimes it takes a month, sometimes it takes 3 months, however long it takes, the child comes up. Eventually, the child pulls the towel back, pulls the candy bar out and says, Dad, you can't get me on this game anymore. Now, what's happened is the child's learned that just because I can't see it, it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. Just because I can't see it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. And do you know, as Christians, God calls us to increase our faith, to increase our capacity in faith. And often we think that just because I can't see God, he doesn't exist. Can I tell you that that is not true? Even a young child knows that just because I can't see it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. And I believe that as Christians, what God wants to do is continue to take us on, to continue to increase our capacity so that we continue to do what he's called us to do, and that is build his church so that the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Amen? So go with me to Exodus chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14. Starting in verse 10. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us out into the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, 'Leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians'? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert." Now, Pastor Ed, wouldn't it be great to pastor that congregation? Come on, guys, let's keep going forward. We want to go back and die. Okay. Awesome. Thank you, God. But here's a group of people that they were in Exodus 3, chapter 3, they're crying out, "God, help us, God, help us." And the Bible says that God heard their pain, heard their misery, and came down to rescue them. And so here they are crying out, "God, help us." So now God's helped them. And he's brought them through, or not at this point, they're at the Red Sea at this point, but he's brought them out from under the hand of the Egyptians. Now this, we're talking 3 million people, right? 3 million people, the whole labor force of Egypt has just been taken out from Egypt. Now this is a miracle, this is an absolute miracle. The Exodus story is the foundations of our faith. And so here Moses has brought them to the edge of the sea. They've seen the sea and they're like, "Oh, great, great. We can see what's going to happen here." Now have a look what Moses says in verse 13. It says that Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm and you will see." Notice that. You will see. You will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only be still. Another translation says you need only be silent. And so what's happened in this passage of scripture is that Moses has brought them to the edge of the Red Sea. And then now they're sitting there and they're looking across going, our future looks impossible. But our past looks comfortable. We don't know what it is to get across the Red Sea. We don't know how we're even going to get across the Red Sea. And all of a sudden now the Israelites, the church, are looking back going, can't we just go back to where we came from? At least under the Egyptians, we knew that we had to get up at 6 a.m. We had to chip away at rock or pick up dirt or whatever the Egyptians needed us to do to build their empire. We would rather go back to something that we know than move forward into something that we don't know. Now, what's ironic about this whole story again is that they were sitting here going, God, rescue me. And now God's rescued them and they're going, God, we would rather go back. Now, isn't it funny? As people of God, we often get so confused because here we are, we're at the edge of the Red Sea and God continues to tell us to go forward. And we're sitting there going, but water is impossible. But water is not easy to cross. But water is not going to work. That expanse of water is not going to see 3 million people swim across it. The fact that they probably couldn't even swim made it even more impossible. But the truth is that God had called them into it. And if God had called them into it, just because they can't see it doesn't mean the blessing doesn't exist. Just because they can't see how it's going to happen doesn't mean the promise isn't going to come to pass. And so here God brings them to an impossibility. And they go to God and they say, God, we are stuck with an impossibility. And I honestly think God said, what is that? What's an impossibility? Because to God, all things are possible. He doesn't know what an impossibility looks like. And you might be here tonight going, man, we've made it to 10 years. Who knows what the next 20 years is going to look like? I know this, that all, what we've got to keep doing is going forward. We've got to keep moving forward into all that God has called us to. Sometimes we'll sit there going, but I don't understand. That's cool. You don't have to understand. God's got a plan and a purpose. All he asks us to do is keep walking, keep going forward. Just because you can't see it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. And so here the people get caught between, I'd rather go back to my past than go forward into my future. Because my past I know, my future I don't. But faith always is about moving into the unseen realm. Faith is always about continuing to go forward into all that God has called us to. Only 5 years ago, we couldn't see Lancaster and Blackpool happening. But Pastors Ed and Michelle could, because they already saw it. They had it in their heart. They hadn't seen it physically, but they'd seen it spiritually. They said, come on, guys, let's keep walking. Let's keep moving forward into all that God's called us to. And we sit there going, but we can't see how that's going to happen. It doesn't matter. Just because we can't see it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. Amen? Amen. Amen. So we're going to go through three things tonight. Three things tonight that we can learn from this story when it comes to keep walking. Turn to the person next to you and say, whatever happens tonight, I'm going to keep walking. Turn to the person on the other side and tell them, I think this message is for you. So as a people of faith, number one tonight, number one, faith requires courage. Faith requires courage. We read every time God does something for someone in the Bible, whether it be Joshua, whether it be Esther, whether it be any of the great men and women of God, the first thing he always starts off with is take courage. Yeah. He says that each and every person in the Old Testament and even in the New Testament, when Peter begins to step out of the boat, Jesus says to him first, take courage. Take courage. Or be courageous. Or be strong in heart. Either way, what God is saying is that you're going to need courage for what he's called you to. Because what you have right now is not enough to get you into all that he's called you to. And so what God says is, he says, take courage. But every time he says, take courage, what's about to happen is he knows that you can't do it in and of yourself. He knows that you don't have the strength, capacity, and ability to be able to do what he's called you into. So when he says to you, take courage, he's about to grace you. He's about to empower you with all that he has in order for you to accomplish what he's calling you into. Amen? Amen. And if God is going to continue to call us to see that our barns be full to overflowing, then some of us are going to have to take courage. We're going to have to go, you know what? I don't know what this is going to look like, but God, I trust you. I've never crossed the sea before. I don't even know how to swim. But if you say go forward, I'm going to keep going forward. Because I know when you say take courage, you're going to grace me to fulfill what it is that you've called me to. And so faith requires courage. A few years ago in Bible college, might have been around your era, Dave, there was a little Japanese student. Her name was Sachi. And she was one of our head students. And she was absolutely gorgeous. She was so good with people. And she was kind of, she had broken English, but she just had such a heart for people. And I had her on my head student team, which is the team that helps me kind of operate college. And we do this thing called get out of the boat. And that's a 3-minute message where a student will get up. And it's the concept of Peter stepping out of the boat, where a student gets up and they, for 3 minutes, they bring a sermon to the college. And we come to the head student meeting, and We got to the end of it, and I prayed for them, and they said, "Oh, who's going to do get out of the boat tomorrow?" And I said, and I looked around all our head students, and they'd all done it except for Sachi. And so I said, "Sachi, you're going to do get out of the boat tomorrow." And she's, no. And I said, yeah. And she's like a deer in the headlights, and I could see, you know, she kind of teared up a little bit. And so I said, "Amen," and everyone left. And she comes up to me. She says, "Lee, I can't do this." And I said, "Sachi," I didn't tell her that I forgot to get someone ready. So I said, Sachi, "I really feel like God wants you to do it." Have you ever done that? Never. You ever pull that card? No. And just Australia. And so she said to me, "I can't do it." She said, "They won't even understand me." And I said, "Sachi, all you need to do," like college is just one of the most encouraging environments in the world. I said, "Sachi, all you need to do is say Jesus is Lord 4 times in 3 minutes. You'll be fine." And she's like, okay. She said, "But you believe I can do this?" I said, "I believe you can do it." She said, "Will you pray for me?" So I prayed for her. And then she come back, she comes into chapel and she comes over. And I said, "Are you ready to go?" And she's like, "Oh, I'm so nervous." I said, "You'll be fine. You'll be fine." She said, "I've got a message ready." I said, "You'll be brilliant." So I got up and I introduced her. Everyone loves this girl, right? She just can't go wrong. And so she gets up and I hand her the microphone and she gets up to the pulpit. And you could tell she was anointed because the microphone's moving like this. and then she tried the double push and she tried to slow it down, but it just kind of, but they're both going. And still to this day, I have no idea what she preached on, but she got up there and she went, "And Jesus is Lord." And everyone's like, "Wah!" And then she was like, "And Jesus is Lord." And everyone's, "Wah!" And she goes through the rest of her sermon. She does another Jesus is Lord. She gets to the end of it and she says, "Hillsong College, don't ever forget, Jesus is Lord." And everyone's, "Wah!" And everyone stands up and they're clapping. People are crying because they know how big of a moment that was for her to be able to do it. She comes down off the platform. She comes up to me. She says, and I said, "Sachi, that was unbelievable." And she says, "Thank you so much for the opportunity." She said, "I didn't think anyone would understand me." And I said, "What?" And no, I didn't. I didn't do that. Just kidding. And I said, "Man, look at the people." And you just looked across and there were girls crying, there were guys crying, because we all knew how big of a deal that was for her to get up there, to take courage, to step forward and bring a message from the Lord. Now, I often think back then she was just a young Japanese girl. And I often think if she didn't take courage back then, if she didn't do what it was to just get up there and do a 3-minute message, would her and her husband be pastoring a church today in Osaka, Japan, where she's running the sisterhood and having an amazing influence on young Japanese lives? I often wonder, if she didn't do it back then, would she be doing what she's called to do today? Well, church, I honestly believe that when we're called to take courage, it's not about us. It's about what God's going to bring into our future, amen? It's not always about us. It's about the people that he's going to bring across our path. But I know this, that faith requires courage. And when the Lord says take courage, he'll grace you and empower you to step into all that he has for you in Jesus' name, amen? Amen. So number one, faith requires courage. Number two, faith requires action. Faith requires action. There's more to the Christian life than just sitting back and getting comfortable. When we sit back and we get comfortable, we think about us. When we get out on the forefront and get uncomfortable, we think about others. And what I love about Valley Church is that you continue to reach out to your community, that you build a cafe and go, "Man, we're going to have coffee in there, but it's not about us, it's about the people that aren't even here yet that are going to come have coffee over there." Amazing coffee, phenomenal coffee. The best coffee you will ever get in all of England is going to happen right over here. And how many people are going to come to know Jesus in that process? I love that everything you're about is about others, about winning the community, about reaching the community, about blessing the community. Because faith requires action. We're not called to sit back, get comfortable, go back and serve the Egyptians. We're called to get out on the water, even if it's raining. I can't believe the sun is out. I can't believe the sun is out, which is awesome. But it's still freezing. And you guys wear T-shirts. Yesterday, I was sitting in a cafe watching the football, Chelsea and Tottenham, and I'm sitting there and I'm freezing. I'm thinking, I'm inside. And I look and there's an elderly couple just sitting on a bench with the door wide open. I'm like, oh my goodness, Lord, help me, help me. What is wrong with me? But faith requires action. You know, in the ancient commentary, ancient Jewish commentary, this story is told how Moses, he got out on the Red Sea and he looked back and began to see the Israelites starting to look back towards the Egyptians. The problem is that as they look back, the Egyptians will come in their way. And what I love about this story is that just because you're delivered doesn't mean the enemy's not going to chase you down. And sooner or later, he'll catch you if you don't continue to keep walking. And here's Moses, and the Bible says that Moses began to step out, and he began to walk into the water, Moses and the elders. And the ancient commentary says that they got up to their waist in water, and they looked back, and the people were still sitting on the bank of the river. And the Bible says that Moses and commentary says that Moses and the elders continued to walk out, and says they got up to their shoulders in water and they looked back and the Israelites hadn't moved. So Moses said to the elders, come on, let's keep going to where God has called us to. And he continued to walk. And this ancient commentary says they got up to their nose in water and then the waters began to part. And the elders and Moses continued to walk through. And then the Israelites said, we're going to follow them. And then they began to move. But I love this story because it says that they got up to their nose in faith. They got up to their nose in water. And I love it because to me, that's the true story of faith. I know that, man, I pray. It doesn't always happen. It's like I've got to keep walking. And as I keep walking, God partners with me. And then all of a sudden, the promise begins to open up. And I want to say to someone here tonight, that you've been believing God for a promise? You believe in God for a blessing, and you're sitting there going, God, I can't see it. I can't see it. And I'm here to tell you that just because you can't see it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. That's right. And I feel like tonight God's saying, don't give up. That's right. Keep walking, because you're about to see the waters begin to part. You're about to see the promise begin to open up. Don't look back. Keep going forward. Don't get comfortable. Keep walking into uncomfortability, but there you'll see possibility as opposed to impossibility. And so faith requires action. Now, it doesn't mean that we've got to do these extreme things that we often do as Christians. It's like, okay, I need to get my life right. Therefore, tomorrow I'm going to read all of the book of Leviticus. How many of you honestly have ever done an extreme one that you just never kept up with? New Year's resolution, maybe? Yeah, we've all been there. But often what we do is we go, right, tomorrow I'm gonna read whatever book I turn to, I'm gonna read the whole thing. And Ezekiel, yes. How many? What? 50 how many chapters? Oh my goodness. And we do these, but sometimes all we've got to do is move something slightly. Sometimes it doesn't need a complete makeover. Sometimes we just got to change our direction slightly, and all of a sudden the blessing of God begins to open up. Two summers ago, I was out surfing, and a lot of people don't understand the beach, and we get a lot of tourists obviously in Sydney, and so I jumped out in this area where the water runs out quite quickly, but the waves aren't coming in there. And what happens in a small beach is that on a northerly swell, the water comes in here, but if the water comes in, it's got to go out somewhere. And so the water comes in here, but it goes out, and it's this thing that's called a rip. And so the water will keep moving across the shore and then eventually make its way back out. Well, a lot of people look at the beach and they go, man, that's unbelievable. They go swimming in it, and then they look back and realize, oh man, I'm nowhere near where I started to swim. And they realize that they're in a rip. So I jumped out because as a surfer, it's easy to paddle out through a rip. And as I was paddling out, I saw about 50 yards in front of me, there was a guy and he was just struggling. And I thought, oh my goodness, he's caught in the rip. And so I went out to him and I said, bro, you're going to have to, get out of the rip. And he's like, bro, my arms are so sore. My arms are so sore. I'm like, I get it, but you're going to have to get out of the rip. And I said, here's what we're going to do. I said, hold my leg rope and I'll pull you out. And so he holds my leg rope and I'm struggling, right? And I'm trying to pull him out, and I just didn't have the arms to be able to do it. I'm not like Pastor Ed. I mean, so I'm just trying to get it. I mean, in fact, Ed probably wouldn't need the board. He'd just walk on water, get the guy. There you go. Hey, we're all at different levels of faith, all right? All at different levels of faith. And so I try and tow him out, and I can't get him out of the rip. And so I said to him, bro, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to try and push you out. And so I get behind him, and I'm pushing his feet and trying to get him out of the rip. I said, bro, here's what we're going to do. I said, we're going to give it 200 strokes, and we'll be out of this rip. 200 strokes. And he's like, but bro, my arm. I'm like, oh, you Brazilians, you drive me nuts. Come on. Come on, we can do this. And I said to him, we need to get out of the rip, otherwise we're going to keep going back. And I said, here's what we're going to do. But rather than try and paddle back from where we came, we're going to change our direction a little bit, and we're going to paddle across the rip. It's going to take us out as we go, but we're going to move across the rip. And he's like, but bro, my arms. I said, bro, I'm going to count, and you're going to go. And I said, let's go. One, two. And I began to count out. And I think I got into the 80s and realized that, hey, we're out of the rip now. And so I said, bro, we're out of the rip. I said, you need to go to shore. He's like, bro, my arms, bro. I said, I get it. You've got arms. Thank God you've got arms. Let's go. And so I continued to push him in, and a wave came, and I just pushed him onto the wave. And he got into shore, and I just sat out the back and watched him. He got to shore. He got on the beach. He was like, but all he had to do was change direction a little bit and paddle across the rip rather than try and paddle against the rip. And I feel like there's people in the room tonight that you don't need to change complete direction. You just need to change maybe one or two small disciplines. One or two small disciplines, and all of a sudden you'll paddle out of your situation into the full blessing and promise that God has for you. Amen? So faith requires courage. Number two, faith requires action. Number three, faith requires vision. Faith requires vision. Vision is the ability to see beyond what you can see with your own eyes. See beyond where you're at to where you're going. And we know that just because we can't see it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. Thank God for visionary pastors that continue to get up, and we're not satisfied with where we're at. We've got more people to reach. We've got more people to reach out to, more people to bring into church, more people to bring into the kingdom. I love visionary pastors that continue to go, we're called to expand the kingdom of God here on earth. Let's give it everything we've got. And so faith requires vision, but so often we get caught up. We put our head down. But what about me? But what about me? And all of a sudden, we're more focused on ourselves than what we are on what God's got for us. All of a sudden, it's what about me? I'm going to go back to where I'm comfortable rather than move forward into the promise of God. Now, that's in Australia. That's not in Valley Church in Preston. Valley Church continues to look up and move forward into all that God's called it to because we're full of vision. But so often we walk into this blessing, we walk into this favor, and we get there and we're like, okay, I'm comfortable now. I'm happy now. And we forget where the blessing comes from. We forget what it took to walk into what it was that God had for us. Yeah. A few weeks ago, I pulled into a gas station. I'll get the keyboard player to come and join me. I pulled into a gas station to fill up with petrol, and as I went to pay for it, my kids hung their head out the window, one of the kids, and said, Dad, can you buy us some chips? I was like, sure, I can buy you chips, no problem at all. And so I went in to pay for the petrol, and I bought three packets of chips, three different flavors. And I come out and I disperse the flavor according to how I thought the kid would enjoy it. And I was driving out of the petrol station, and my son Ben, he says to my daughter Lily, my son Ben's 14, my daughter Lily is 8. And he says, Lily, I'll trade you a chip. And Lily's like, okay. So Ben presents this chip. You know, it's about this big, and he presents it to her. She goes down to the bottom corner of her packet, comes out with the smallest chip you have ever seen, and says, here you go. And Ben goes, that's not fair. And she's like, all right then. And she goes back into the packet. She pulls one out. She looks. She puts it back in. She pulls out another one. Because dimensions matter. Dimensions matter when you're trading chips. And so she gets one the same size, and she trades Ben. Ben grabs her chip, and Ben eats her chip, and he goes, oh man, that is such a good chip. I wish I got that flavor. So I'm sitting there thinking, man, I wonder what that tastes like, right? Because I'm over 40 now, and so I live a carb-free life the best way I can, so I didn't get myself a packet. But I thought, I've got three generous kids. And so I said, Lily, can I try one of your chips? And I'm not kidding, she looked at me mortified. She was like, oh. And I said, well, what's the problem? And she said, Dad, you don't have anything to trade. All right. Egocentric child. I said, Lily, do I need to remind you that the only reason you even have chips is because I'm a good, good father. It's who I am. Dad, you've got nothing to trade. Are you kidding me? Give me that packet that I bought you. But you see, so often as Christians, we become like that. We become like Lily, like it's all about me now. But God wants to continue to stretch us because He knows that there's so much more in our future. There's so many more people that need to come into the kingdom of God. There's so much more salvation that needs to happen. But it requires vision. We've got to see beyond where we're at and continue to walk towards where we're going. Church, don't stop. Keep walking into all that God's got for you. Amen.